Hey, Snappers. We're going to switch things up a little bit this week and rock a special episode. A lot of you know that I had an interesting religious upbringing, growing up in an apocalyptic white supremacist Jesus cult. It was formerly known as the Worldwide Church of God. And I spoke to one of my radio heroes, Benjamin Walker, host of the amazing podcast Theory of Everything, about growing up in that madness. And we've got the entire interview right here. And yes, this stuff happened. I hope you dig it. We'll be back to our regular snappage next week.
Our organization, our church, our cult was founded by a guy by the name of Herbert W. Armstrong. And he came from this generation of utopian dreamers that has other luminaries like Ray Kroc, who founded McDonald's, and Walt Disney, who founded the Disney World. Now, the founder of my organization, Herbert W. Armstrong, his utopia was going to take a little while to get to.
America has given birth to hundreds of religious cults, but few have been as American as Herbert W. Armstrong's Radio Church of God. Glenn Washington was born into the cult in the early 70s, right around the time Armstrong changed the cult's name to the Worldwide Church of God. Glenn Washington grew up a model cult member. He didn't question the white supremacist theology, nor the ban on Christmas. His secret knowledge of the Bible made him feel special.
I was the kid who told everybody that there was no such thing as Santa Claus. I told them this with the, you know, the fervor of the converted. You know, I'm a little kid. I'm armed with knowledge of the Bible, and I can still remember it now. You can never get this out of your head. It's Jeremiah 10, verse 3. This is in the Old Testament, and they're describing someone who goes out to the forest. A group of people, this sect of people, go out to the forest, and they'll find a tree, and they'll deck it with silver and gold, and they'll take this tree, and they'll put it in their house. And there in the Bible it says, those people who do this with this tree, they are not of me, and they have no part of me. And this was an early description of the Christmas tree. And so I felt like Harry Potter did. It was when he discovered the line between the wizard world and the muggles. And I felt like I was born on the wizard side. And everything that I saw, every single thing I saw, looked different to me from day one. I knew that they were deceived, misled, being used by Satan, and I was one of the lucky chosen few who had real understanding. People said, aren't you sorry you don't have Christmas? Aren't you sorry you don't have Christmas? No. I had something better than Christmas, and it was called the Feast of Tabernacles. You know, we had to tie to the church. Everybody does that, got tied religiously. But we had the invention, the innovation was the second tithe. You had to save another 10% of your income every year, but that was for you. That was for you to go to the Feast of Tabernacles, and you had to spend all that money in 7 days. It was meant to give you a taste of what the world tomorrow was going to look like when Jesus returned. You get a sticker, it's a green sticker, and you put it on your car and start driving towards the feast site. We're out in the middle of nowhere. You know, it seems like there's so few of us. You seem like you're fighting this battle against Satan all alone, just you and your family. But when you start driving down this road trying to go to the Feast of Tabernacles, you see another green sticker. Whoa! And there's somebody over there. They're in the same thing. It's like you start beeping, and everybody gets happy. They start beeping back. And the closer you get to the feast site, the more green stickers you see. And by the time you pull up to the hotel, green stickers are everywhere. And we are people, you know, we're a poor family. We don't stay in hotels, especially not fancy hotels. But for this period of time, we had saved 10% of our income for the entire year. And the edict from the apostle was, you are instructed to spend the entire 10% in 7 days. So my father, who never did anything like this, was handing out big bills to us. Go and have a good time. It is commanded by Jesus Christ. And that's exactly what we did. The Feast of Tabernacles culminates in something called the Last Great Day. And the Last Great Day is no joke. You got to get there. You got to be there right on time. And you get to this big, big auditorium, and it's dark. And there's these dudes in white coats fiddling around with this very high-tech equipment. And there's a projection thing. There's all kinds of static and stuff going on. And you're waiting. And then, bam, right there on this big screen is a scene from Pasadena, California. We are in Wisconsin Dells. This is a scene from Pasadena, California. And you know that if you can see it, that means that different feast sites all around the globe are seeing the same thing from our headquarters in Pasadena, California. And you see the preacher get up in Pasadena, and he knows he's being watched all around the world. And it's like, brethren, today we're singing together. And we would sing, behold, the day will come. And it was like, and you felt it. You felt like the Lord has brought us all together here. This is a miracle of science that is being utilized to bring God's people together. And this is the Last Great Day. And once that whole, you know, this whole event was over, and you had to get back in your car and drive back to whatever little place it was that you're from, you still felt that buzz, that electricity, that taste of the Lord. And that was really what kept you going through the rest of the year, being different, being weird, being odd out there in the world. To really understand our organization, you got to go way, 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 way back, all the way to Noah. Noah had three sons, Shem, Ham, and Japheth. Now, Ham married a black woman. Japheth married an Asian woman. Shem was the only good boy. He married white. So what happened was, the Lord got upset and mad. And he said, I'm going to wipe all these people off the face of the earth. And the flood came, and then they all got on the ark together. And the boat went around for a year or so. And when they got off the ark, the Lord was like, there's going to be no more of this racial mixing stuff. And he set up various boundaries and barriers and rivers and continents so that the Asians got to be over here, the black people got to be over there, and the white people, they got to be somewhere else. From there, there were the 12 tribes of Israel that were supposedly lost. But that was another thing that we had found out in the cult. We knew where they were. They were the colonies that were first founded in the United States of America, and they too were white. And this was our connection back to Jesus. Now, it wasn't that black people, Asian people couldn't possibly attain the kingdom of heaven. It was that they were going to do so by their proximity to these white people. And you better stay close to whitey or you might not get to go with Jesus. And so that's what we were supposed to do. Now, in order to accomplish all this, of course, whitey's got to be kept white. As white as possible. Can't be no racial mixing. It's very, very, very bad to be mixing with white people. And, you know, when you look back and say, how in the world was a black family in the middle of a white supremacist cult? I don't have an answer for you. I do not have an answer for it. The upshot of this for me as a young boy in Grand Rapids, Michigan, was that we could only date black girls, which is cool, except in my area of the world, in the church, there were no black girls. And this is when I started questioning their version of Bible beliefs. In fact, I wrote a letter to Pasadena, California, to the Council of Elders, saying, this is some nonsense. And I got a letter back saying, do not question the apostles' vision of the Bible. Do not question. This is the way things are supposed to be, so get in line. There was one black girl, but she found a loophole. what she did was she had mixed race parentage, and she went back and she researched the secret bylaws and the rules and found that she could send a document into the Council of Elders and ask for a look-see review. A look-see review is this. You send a picture, you write up a letter, and they look and they see what racial classification you are. And she did it, and she got a letter back 3 months later saying, for all intents and purposes and privileges from that day forward, she was reclassified as white. I couldn't believe it. They're taking away one of the very few black girls that we got. Now my compatriots, people who understand my pain, they can go merrily on with all the privileges of white America, and I'm stuck in the ghettoized version of the cult, and there's nobody there for me. It was untenable. And the rule was very, very specific. You are not allowed to date outside the church, outside the organization. But for me, they decided, you know what? Let's relax this a little bit. So it does become pretty apparent that it is more, it's okay with them. It's not cool. I never got official sanction, but it's okay if I date black outside the church than it is if I date white inside the church. The very last Feast of Tabernacles I went to, it was my late teens. And you got to understand this. This is a hookup joint. It's a holy hookup joint, but it's got kind of a serious undertone to it. These are your prospective mates. Most people marry early, and you're trying to feel out the crowd and stuff and see what's going on. And some of the parties that were happening at the church festival were more debaucherous than anything I've ever experienced in college or high school otherwise. And I remember my last feast, and I went to this party, and it was all kinds of getting busy. Every room, every closet, every, you know, broom closet was filled with coupling couples. And I met this girl. She's beautiful. She's tanned, but she's white. And she grabbed my hand, and we went to the kitchen. It was like the only place left where there were still some space. And we're getting busy, and we're getting busy. And I feel like, wait a minute. She is not looking at me as a serious potential partner. This is a game. This is a joke. I'm a son of Ham. She's a son of Shem. And the rules don't allow for this. Now, it's all well and good tonight, but she's going to wake up the next morning. She's going to put on that halo back on. She's going to be the good church girl. And I'm going to be the mistake. And I thought, I'm being used. She had no intention of entertaining a relationship with me. And not that, you know, I was looking for a wife, but I at least wanted to be respected as a potential partner. You know, before I thought that the overall structure was right, but they just had some weird beliefs in the middle. And it occurred to me that the weird belief, the crazy thing, the thing that was central to me was central to the belief structure of the organization. They really believed that Adam was white, that Noah was white, that Jesus is white, and they're trying to preserve that white blood. And it was central. It was at the very crux of the religion, and I could have no more part of it. I had to run away from it.
There are shows that one person on the planet was born to create. And if you haven't heard Benjamin Walker's Theory of Everything podcast, subscribe in a hurry. iTunes, Stitcher, Google Play, SoundCloud. Get some before it is too late. And let someone know about this episode. If you think I'm pulling your leg, go ahead. Google Herbert W. Armstrong. Because believe it or not, the madness still lives in a host of different groups that broke off to carry the flag. In fact, I'll bet that most of you listening to this podcast actually know a follower of Herbert W. I'm just keeping it on the down low. Be afraid. No, I'm kidding. But know this. If you are growing up in some craziness, please understand, it gets better. Snap Judgment returns next week.